Matthew chapter 5, tonight we will be looking at verses 11 and 12. This is the final beatitude in the list of beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 11. Before we hear God's word, let's go to Him in prayer. Please pray with me. Our Father and our God, in the presence of our enemies, we look to your word to find comfort and hope. We pray, Lord, that you would, in fact, deliver us from those who oppress us, deliver us from our persecutors, especially the evil one, we pray, O God. We pray, Lord, tonight as we hear your word read, you would bring this home into our hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit. Draw us nearer to Christ. Shape us into his image through the preaching of your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 11. Beloved, this is God's word. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the word of God. This beatitude, this final one in the list of beatitudes, as we've said, it can be thought of as a transition into the main body of the sermon, which is where we're going to next. In the first eight beatitudes, Jesus preached in a kind of general way to a general audience. Even though the focus was on his followers, his true followers, that was his primary focus, he leaves the beatitudes open as a kind of invitation. Blessed are those who are merciful. In other words, blessed are all those who are merciful. Blessed are all those who come to me. Blessed are all those who believe in me and follow me. Those are the blessed ones. That is to say, blessed are all those who answer the call of the gospel, who repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed are those who by faith taste the mercy of Christ and thereby become merciful. Blessed are those. So there's an implicit invitation in the Beatitudes there. Blessed are those, for you shall receive mercy, mercy upon mercy. Now, if you are here this evening and you have not tasted that mercy, come to Jesus, believe in him, repent and believe and follow him. He died to save his people. Come to him and be blessed. Blessed are those who do come to him. And so the first eight Beatitudes, again, they have an implicit invitation to all the hearers. Blessed are those, all of those, anyone, come. It is a summons and a reminder also, though, the first Beatitudes, and we looked at this, the Beatitudes are a summons and a reminder, though, to those who have tasted the mercy of Christ, who have believed in Christ and begin to follow him. It's a reminder that we are blessed, that we have future blessings ahead of us, and that we should continually go to him. Jesus is the meek and the merciful one. We are made more like him every day as we come to him. But Jesus here, and that's what those first eight Beatitudes were like. When here, Jesus shifts from this approach to speaking to his followers directly. He says, blessed are you. Blessed are you. And he continues to address his hearers directly for the most of the rest of the sermon. He's looking them in the face and saying, this is for you. The rest of the sermon continues to be very practical application to his hearers. And so he continues to remind them of their blessedness. But he also is preparing them. He's reminding us of our blessedness in this last beatitude. But he's also preparing us for that practical teaching that he gets into in the rest of the sermon. I want your attention now, Jesus is saying. Blessed are you when others persecute you, revile you. And he'll speak this way throughout much of the sermon. He'll look his hearers in the face. The gospel, friends, is not just good news about the blessings of heaven. It is that. It's a heavenly message. It's a gospel, though, that is and should be applied to your life today. It should be lived out. It should be seen. There should be evidence that you believe this message. The gospel concerns the other world, the heavenly world, and this world. It concerns both worlds. And we'll see that very clearly in the rest of the Sermon on the Mount. Well, in this transition, Jesus looks forward somewhat into the future. As God, Jesus has full knowledge of every one of our days before we live them. He knows what has happened to us. He knows what is happening to us. And he knows what will happen to us. He's written our days in his books. He knows what's coming. And he prepares us for what's coming by his word, because he loves us. This is what he was doing here. The true disciples of Jesus were about to be the recipients of severe persecution. Jesus refers to persecution in general here. Blessed are you. And he did that in the previous beatitude. He says, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you. But he also specifically names verbal harassment. He identifies a specific type of persecution, verbal harassment, verbal persecution. People would revile his disciples and slander them. They would say evil things against them falsely. In this way, Jesus was also considering his own future as well. This is what was about to happen to his disciples. They would be reviled. All kinds of evil things would be said against them. But this was what was about to happen to Jesus as well. This was his own future. He knew what was coming for himself. By the end of this gospel, what do we see happen to Jesus? Well, the Jews, and particularly the Jewish leaders, what did they do? They reviled him. They slandered Jesus' name. They mocked him in order to get him crucified. They used their words to influence the crowds to lead him to his death. Jesus says, blessed are you when others revile you. This will be my fate. This will be your fate as well. But remember, you are blessed. And so he says, blessed are you when others revile you. Now, in this transitional beatitude, Jesus does not say that persecution is only potential or possible. Blessed are you if you happen to be persecuted as a Christian. No, he says persecution is certain. Blessed are you when you are reviled, when you are persecuted. Reviling, and so persecution cannot be avoided as a Christian. You will suffer in this age because you are a Christian. Now, reviling is criticizing someone in anger. That is what reviling is. It is to criticize someone in sinful anger in order to shame them. That is what Jesus is referring to. People revile others in order to belittle them, in a way to try to have mastery over them. That's what people are doing when they're reviling someone else. They're trying to have mastery over them. Jesus will go on to say that reviling is the same thing as murder. It comes from the same place. This is verse 22. He says, everyone who is angry with his brother insults him and calls him a fool. In other words, reviles him. Anyone who reviles his brother is guilty of murder. That's what we will be looking at, Lord willing, in a very short time in this chapter. And so reviling means to mock. It means to make fun of. It means to cut someone down with your words. That's what reviling is, to try to have mastery over them with your words. Now, when Jesus was being crucified for us, the religious leaders reviled him. They mocked him. They reviled him along with the crowds. The crowds joined in as well. This is Mark chapter 15. So also the chief priests with the scribes. This is speaking of Jesus as he is being crucified. So also the chief priests and the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, he saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down from the cross that we may see and believe. And then it were told that those who were crucified with him also reviled him. They mocked him. He was dying. And they were making fun of him. You see how wicked this is and where this comes from. This is no light thing. Reviling then comes from a wicked place in the heart of men. This is why Jesus seamlessly mentions persecution as he's discussing also reviling. They come from the same place. They come from the same place. Reviling with words and murder, They are born out of the same place in the darkness of the human heart. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you. Now, persecution, as we looked at before, is to harass someone for their beliefs or for their convictions. It's to harass someone even unto death. That is how strong of an idea is behind this word, persecution. Listen to what Stephen said to the Jews right before he died in his speech in the book of Acts. He says to the Jews, he says, which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? Right. And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. Right. Do you see there the correlation between persecution and murder? Stephen brings that out. It comes from the same place. It's that serious. Murder, persecution, reviling, they all come from the same place. Jesus also speaks of slander. He says, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. The key word here is when Jesus says, blessed are you when others speak evil things against you. The key word is falsely. Blessed are you when others speak against you falsely, speak evil things against you because of me falsely. If someone speaks against you or confronts you because of your own sin, or maybe they are speaking against you truthfully because of your evil, you are not blessed. This is not the same group of people. We need to be confronted with our sin sometimes. We need people to say that we're doing the wrong things. That's not what Jesus is talking about here. Peter says the same thing. He says, it's better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. So you can, it is possible, to bring suffering upon yourself, to bring a kind of persecution upon yourself because of sinful behavior, because of something that you should not be doing. But Jesus doesn't say that. He doesn't say, blessed are you when you're persecuted, no matter what the context is, no matter what the circumstances are. He says, blessed are you when people say evil things against you falsely on my account. Jesus says, blessed are those who have evil things said against them falsely. That is, other people lie to others and they lie to you about your actions and your character. They are lying. That's what slander is. It's lying in order to paint a different picture for others about someone else, or to somehow justify the persecution of that person. And so they say false things against you. They do this in order to make you appear a certain way before others. Like I said, to paint a picture of you. And also to, in some way, to vindicate themselves before you. If they believe what they're saying about you, then the persecution that's carried out against you is justified. So you see what's going on there. They speak falsely against you. This is what happened to Jesus. He knew this was coming. He knew this was in his future when he preached this sermon. In Matthew 26, the chief priests and the whole council, we are told, were seeking false testimony against Jesus. And they finally got a lie that stuck. False witnesses said that Jesus had threatened to destroy the temple in Jerusalem. They said that he had threatened to destroy the temple and then to rebuild it in 3 days. They were speaking evil things against him falsely. But Jesus never said that particularly. He said the temple would be destroyed at one point, but he didn't say that he himself would do it. And besides, that lie is still a lie because Jesus wasn't even talking about the physical temple when he said those words, which is probably what they were referring to. The quote that the false witnesses were referring to, Jesus wasn't talking about the physical temple. He was talking about his own body. Destroy this temple, in 3 days I will raise it up. And that's exactly what he did. They destroyed his body. They destroyed the temple. He rose it up by his own power. But they did manage to get these liars to say this against Jesus, and they were successful in their attempt. Jesus, when he said these words, what he really meant was that if they would have understood, and they would have understood this at some point if they had faith, what he meant was when he said those words is this: you will destroy the temple of my body, but I will raise it up. Now, after false testimony, Jesus was then sentenced to death. They found what they were looking for: slanderers who could convince the leaders and the crowds to sentence him to death. And so again, they spoke evil against him. They slandered him for a very specific reason: to destroy him. But Jesus, at this point, now Jesus knew that this was ahead of him. He knew that this was his near future, but he wasn't directly talking about his own death by persecution here. He said, he was speaking to the church: Blessed are you when my followers, when you are slandered or persecuted. And so he then narrows the field of those who are persecuted, verbally persecuted or verbally abused. He narrows the field to a select few. Blessed are you when others persecute you, say all kinds of evil things against you, falsely because of me. Do you see the distinction there? We've already seen this in the other Beatitudes. In other words, Jesus says, blessed are you when this happens to you precisely because of your relationship to me. When you are reviled, slandered, persecuted because of me, because you're a Christian, because you're a follower of Christ, because of your commitment to me, blessed are you. Friends, because of our union with Jesus, who was treated in this way, this is exactly how he was treated, we can expect to be treated similarly. You should expect this. You should expect to be treated this way because of your faith, because of your relationship to Jesus. It won't happen all the time. There might be many, many weeks, months, and years where you don't experience this in this kind of way. But as Christians, we should expect it. It can't be avoided in this age when others revile and persecute you. Now, you would think that as we looked at the previous Beatitudes, you would think that as we're thinking about the character of Christians, we're the ones who are truly merciful. We are peacemaking. We are sincere. We love righteousness. We're meek. You would think that these characteristics, these traits in Christians would not incite people to persecute us. Who would want to persecute meek and sincere and peace-loving people? But this is exactly what happens because of the darkness of this world. This is precisely what happens because of sin, because of the darkness of sin, because of people's commitment to sin. The very meekness, the very humility that is shown in your life before others, it shines the light on their own lack of those characteristics, and they're committed to sin, and so they respond sometimes with violence and slander. Christ and his righteousness and his light that shines through you, the church, it exposes sin in others. You are like a light that is turned on in a room. Your righteousness is like a light. It shines the light on other people's sins, and they don't like it, and so they respond sometimes in this way. They want the light to go out because they are committed to sin. They want to stay in the darkness. And Jesus says, when this happens, know that you are blessed. Blessed are you when this happens to you because of me. Why? Well, Jesus says, because it is this slander and persecution on account of your commitment to Jesus that is clear evidence that you belong to him. It's experiential evidence that you belong to Jesus, that you are following in his footsteps. That is what Jesus is saying. It's a sign of your salvation. Blessed are you when others persecute you and say all kinds of evil things against you because of me. Why? Because that's a sign that you belong to me. That's exactly what I went through. You will go through it as well. Now, Jesus goes even further here. He says, blessed are you when people do this on account of me. It shows that you belong to me. Not only do you need to know that you are blessed, but when this takes place, rejoice and be glad. Rejoice and be glad. Now, it's not something that you would expect to see when we're talking about persecution. Now, I don't know about you, but rejoicing and being happy or being glad, it's not the first emotional response that I have if somebody's slandering me or saying evil things against me that aren't true because of my Christian faith. If someone wants to kill me because of my Christian faith, might be difficult to have this emotional response to rejoice and to be glad. Usually when people praise me and try to enrich my life, that seems like the more appropriate time to rejoice and be glad, right? And it is. It's a time to rejoice and be glad then too. But the Christian life, as we have already seen in the Beatitudes, it turns all of that, all of those worldly expectations upside down. Jesus says, when this world and Satan, when they bear down on you, when others slander you, persecute you, because you love me, precisely because you follow me, rejoice and be glad. Rejoice and be glad. Why? Because your reward is great in heaven. Jesus presents here heavenly reward as compensation. What is this reward that Jesus is speaking about? Well, it's eternal life with the Father. Eternal, blessed life with the Father, receiving the crown of life at the end of the age. That's what he's talking about. That's the reward we have to look forward to. We don't have it yet, but that's what we look forward to. The blessed reward of being with God the Father and with his Son in the presence of the Spirit forever and ever. Part of the reward is hearing our Father at the end of the age tell us, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Master." Do you want to hear that? Do you want to hear that at the end of the... I want to hear that. That is the reward I want to get. Most people go after praise of men. Well done from men. That's what they want. That's what they're after. From the praise of men in this age. That's not what we should be after. We're after the praise of our Father. We're after a good word from our Father, that is to say, rather. We want to hear, "Well done and good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Master." And we will hear those words. When we hear these words, what do we say in return as God's servant? We say, "We are unworthy servant. We are unworthy servants. We have only done what is our duty." Now, Jesus is not teaching here that we earn our salvation. He presents this reward as compensation, but it's not as if we earn this reward. We are already blessed. We've already seen this in 8 Beatitudes. But what he is doing is teaching us that righteous persecution because of Jesus in all of its wicked forms, it causes us pain here. It does. And as it causes us pain, this persecution orients us to thinking about the joys that await us in heaven. That's what persecution does. When you are persecuted because of Jesus, when you are slandered, when people say all kinds of evil things against you for Jesus' sake, those moments should shatter all of your expectations for reward in this world. It won't happen. You will not receive this type of reward in this age. And that's what persecution does. It orients your thinking to a later reward, a reward that is stored up in heaven that will come at a later time. It should cause you, in other words, to slowly let go of this age and the things that are offered in this world. That's what it should do. And so what does Jesus say? Rejoice. Rejoice and be glad. For your mind is now thinking about an eternal reward. You have a reward in heaven. This rejoicing and being glad or overjoyed, this rejoicing that Jesus speaks of here, is rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit by faith. It is rejoicing that's directed toward our God and Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't summon this up from ourselves. This is from the Holy Spirit, but we are called to rejoice. When that time comes, recognize it and rejoice. Be glad. Rejoice and be glad. Now, what is Jesus saying here? He is saying that the slander and the mockery and the persecution that the church experiences because of their commitment to Jesus is positive proof that you will be rewarded. Great is your reward in heaven. And the persecution is proof of that. You have a reward in heaven. It is positive proof that you will be rewarded by God. Even though you suffer pain now because of this persecution, you will be rewarded. Therefore, rejoice and be glad. Remain steadfast. Remain steadfast in the Lord. Be patient. Do not sin. Rejoice and be glad instead of sinning. Right? That should be your response. Rejoicing and being glad that you are suffering persecution. Because there will come a reward later on. Persecution, slander on account of our faith, it further confirms what Jesus had already said in the other Beatitudes, that we will see God, that we will receive mercy, that we will inherit the earth. This persecution, in other words, it makes these blessings that we don't yet have, it makes them more real. It makes them more certain. Blessed are you when you are persecuted for Jesus' sake, for great is your reward. And so rejoice. Be glad. Be glad, church. Be overjoyed. It doesn't make any sense, but be overjoyed when this happens to you, for your reward is great in heaven. I'll give you an illustration. Most of the culture today has pretty much foregone driving to the store to purchase something, you know, for yourself or someone else. We pretty much do most of our shopping online. And so you know that, especially if you purchase something for yourself, say on Amazon, you make the purchase, it's confirmed, and it says your package will be delivered soon. Your package will be coming soon. And so you get that confirmation email and you see the email that it's out on delivery. You know it's coming, but not today. It's Tuesday, you've ordered it. It's not coming till Thursday, though. And so you know that it's coming. You know it's yours. The email confirms this fact that it is coming. It will be there in a couple of days, but it's not here yet. So you wait with anticipation for that day. And indeed, it comes. Amazon's very good about that. They follow up with their promises. Well, how much more so God, right? He's saying it's coming. Your reward is great in heaven. Rejoice. Be glad. It's as sure as the persecution as you're experiencing. It's as certain as that. It's as certain as my word. Rejoice. Be glad. It confirms that this is true, that everything I've told you is true. You belong to me, and I will reward you at the end of the age. And so he says, rejoice and be glad when others persecute you for Christ's sake. When this happens, Jesus says that we know that we have a great reward in heaven, but he also says something else here. He says, we know that we are in good company. You're not alone. And persecution makes you feel that way sometimes when you are being slandered, when people are speaking evil things against you because of your Christianity. It makes you feel alone, but you're not alone. He says, so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Well, which prophets is Jesus talking about? Well, Jesus is talking about all of the prophets. The ones who persecuted the prophets were those in the unbelieving world. But sadly, it was the unbelieving world who were within the covenant community. They were the ones who persecuted and killed the prophets. God would send a prophet to his people to speak the word to them and call them to repentance. But they shut up their ears. They didn't want to hear them. So they persecuted them. They didn't want to hear it. So they persecuted them and they killed some. What did Stephen say to the Jews? He says, what one of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? They persecuted all of them. They didn't want to hear anything from them. From the blood of righteous Abel to Zechariah, who was killed by the altar. It was the hard-hearted and unbelieving members of the very covenant community who persecuted the people who were bringing the word of God. And so, its persecution is not something that just comes from without, though it does. We should expect this from within as well, from within the covenant community. Blessed are you when others revile you because of me. Rejoice and be glad. That's exactly what happened to the prophets. They persecuted and slandered the righteous one. Jesus says, when this happens to you, when people do this, leaders even do this, when they slander you, say all kinds of evil against you falsely, because of your commitment to me, because of your sincere Christianity, because of your sincere commitment to following my commandments, rejoice. Be overjoyed. There's a reward coming. It's in heaven. I'm going to give it to you. Your reward is great in heaven. Persecution, friends, God is saying here, Jesus is saying, persecution upon the church places us directly in line with all the righteous prophets of old. It's already happened, in other words. You're being persecuted. It's already happened to others before you. You are in good company if this is something that you experience. Abel, Zechariah, and everyone in between. You would think of Elijah, Elisha, Jeremiah, Daniel, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, on and on and on. Those are the people that you are in company with, church, when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake. These people, those prophets. And where are they now? They had suffered for a little while. They brought the word of God. They were obedient. They sought to be obedient to their Lord, and they were persecuted because of it. Where are they now? Well, they are all in heaven. They are all in heaven rejoicing and being glad in the Lord. They've received part of that reward that God promised them. They are enjoying the reward that they received for having been faithful unto death. These are your people, as Jesus is saying. You're in good company. So they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Blessed are you. Rejoice and be glad. This is who you keep company with. This is who you should think of yourselves as belonging to. That is the company you belong to, church. Your citizenship is there with these men and women from of old who suffered for righteousness' sake and who are now with God. And so rejoice and be glad. Your persecutors can never take that away. They can never take that reward away.